Hey, before we begin, I want to say hey to Decatur City Church, Buckhead Church, say hey to Gwinnett Church, and I'm so honored to be here at Brownsbridge Church, and we're beginning this series called Heroes, but it's not just here for us adults. A big theme going on this whole summer. In fact, if you've got children in Wombaland, their whole theme is Super Friends, which I'm really excited about. Then in Upstreet this summer, they're doing this whole comic book Heroes theme. And every week, if you've got a student at Upstreet, they get a new installment of the Hero series, which is really cool. Then in Transit today, it's the first Sunday for rising sixth graders. So it's a big day for sixth graders and their parents. And then later tonight for our high school students, Inside Out kicks off the summer. So if this is your first time here at any of our churches, we're so honored. We hope you have a great experience with us today. I'm excited about this series. And I thought one of the ways we would begin is I would have an audience participation question, which means I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to ask you to turn to the person next to you and tell them your answer. So believe it or not, this is actually going to be an important question. It might seem like a silly question, but hang with me. Here's a question I want you to process for a little bit. And the question is, who is your favorite superhero? Okay? Who is your favorite superhero? Now, before I go any further, though, the extroverts have already started talking, all right? So that's awesome. I do want to give the introverts some encouragement. Okay, I'm an introvert, all right? We're going to get through this, all right? We're going to make it through this. It's only going to last about 10 seconds, okay? For the extroverts, I want to remind you, this isn't a conversation, okay? This is just like Spider-Man, all right? So I want you to tell the person next to you who your favorite superhero is, and then I want you to listen to the person next to you. You're going to learn something about the person next to you. This is only going to take 5 or 10 seconds. So ready, set, go. There are a lot of extroverts in this church. This is great. Well, thanks for playing along. I don't know if you know this or not, though, that there's actually a correct answer to this question. And the correct answer is Christopher Reeve, Superman. All right? So just telling you. Just saying. Now, the reason I bring this up is every superhero movie, the plot line basically goes like this. Every single superhero movie, the storyline and the plot line goes like this. The first movement of the movie is once upon a time, there's a story of a neighborhood or a city or a person or a school or whatever you ever. But then early on in the movie, something happens. Suddenly a villain appears. Like aliens are attacking the planet Earth. Something's happening with a city. Something's broken out. Something terrible has gone on. There's a villain that has rise on the scene. And then next thing, but wait, there's a superhero, and the superhero's going to deal with the villain and deal with all of that. And then as the superhero saves the day, everyone lives happily ever after. Now, here's the deal. This is the plot line of Avengers 1. 2, and I haven't even seen Avengers 3, but this will be the plot line of Avengers 3. It's the plot line of Superman, Wonder Woman, the new Spider-Man movie. This is the plot line of every superhero movie. And if you were to talk to a screenwriter or a scriptwriter, and if you were to ask them, what is the most important part of the screenwriting process, we might tend to think it's here when the hero appears, but they would say no. The most significant part of the screenwriting process is actually here. Because if you don't have a great villain, if you don't have a great crisis, if you don't have a problem, then there's really no need for a hero. And that's true, right? Like if there are no criminals in Gotham City, then Batman just takes the Batmobile out for an oil change and comes back to the Batcave, right? If there are no aliens attacking planet Earth, Thor doesn't need his hammer. He just uses it for household chores, right? That'd be a pretty cool hammer. But the point is that if there's no crisis, there's no need for a hero. And the point of superhero movies is basically to connect with us to this point that superheroes don't live in a wrinkle-free world, and superheroes don't have wrinkle-free lives. And the reason that's important for us is because of these two questions that I want to deal with a little bit today. It's this one. I want to ask you this. Do you live in a wrinkle-free world, and do you have a wrinkle-free life? Do you live in a wrinkle-free world, and do you have a wrinkle-free life? And you know how I answer this question? Yeah, me neither. Me neither. And I'm a professional Christian. Can you believe it? I don't live in a wrinkle-free world, and I don't have a wrinkle-free life. And so what happens is this is something that I think all of us share wherever you may be. If this is your first time in church or you've been in church for all of your life, I think there's something that we all have in common. And what we all have in common is if we could go around the room today, there are some things, that really good things that are going on in your life right now. And there are some challenging things going on in your life right now as well. And it's the challenging things that produce the anxiety, the stress, the depression, the difficulties. It's the challenging things in life that keep us up. And I'm not denying that, not trying to diminish that. But what I want to do in this series as we begin is I want us to look at our challenges from perhaps a different perspective. Not to deny them, not to say, you know what, it's not that big of a deal. No, it is a big deal if it's keeping you up at night, if it's a stress point, if it's a worry, if it's creating anxiety. I just want us to look at it a little bit differently. In fact, if we were to look at it from the lines of perspective of a screenwriter, here's what they would say is your opportunity as it relates to the villain moment, if you will, the challenging season, the difficulty, the moment when the villain has come into your life. This is what they would say, that in the villain moments when all of a sudden something bad has happened, your current challenge is your current opportunity to be a hero. Your current challenge, that current difficult situation, it's actually your current opportunity to be a hero. Doesn't make it any easier, might not make it more fun, but what a screenwriter would say is, oh, this is the opportunity for you to grow. This is the opportunity for you to be a hero. Now, one of the things I love about our churches, and this is humble, I think, but we don't really think of ourselves. You don't really think of yourself as a hero. We think of famous people as heroes. We think of rock stars or politicians or athletes as heroes. But I got to tell you, at our churches today, there are stories after stories of heroes. Let me give you some examples. You see, when it comes to superhero movies and we think those are superheroes, that's make-believe. I mean, I can't wait for the new Spider-Man movie, but just to break the news to you, the storyline that a radioactive spider bites a young man and he can now climb walls, that's make-believe. That's not real. But let me give you some real-life stories. A real-life hero. A real-life hero is a single parent who holds down a full-time job and tries to make all the ball games or recitals they possibly can. A real life hero is a couple, and they decide to stop fighting against one another and start fighting with one another to battle the villain of financial debt that's really negatively impacting their lives. And as they overcome that villain, they experience pressure and peace. That's a hero. A hero is a high school student or a college student who chooses integrity and character over maybe doing something that might generate some short-term popularity, but they're in it for the long haul. That's a hero. A hero is a business person who launches a thriving business to not only help themselves, but to more importantly, provide jobs and an economic benefit in their community. A real life hero are people that are really busy throughout the week, and yet they carve out time to serve children in Wambaland and Upstreet, students in transit at Inside Out, park cars, rain or shine. And they open up their homes to lead a small group. Those are stories of real life heroes, and I could keep going on and on and on. My point is this. It's not egotistical to think that you have the potential to be a hero. It's a real life opportunity. And let me lead you to a question that I think you're going to need to ask if you're going to seize this moment. Seize this moment. Seize this current challenge that you have in your life and turn it from a challenge into an opportunity to be a hero. And to do that, let me explain it this way. And this may sound a little silly, but trust me, I'm going somewhere with this. I want to lead you to a really important question to begin this series. Think of it this way. Let's say a Hollywood movie director comes to you and says, hey, we want to create the movie of your life. All right, so we want to buy the options to your life story. And one of the first things they would do is they would begin to discuss, who do you want to be in the role of who's cast in the role of playing you in your life story? Now this would be, by the way, this is a great icebreaker question in your next small group. Just go around the room and ask everybody, who would you want to play you in your life story? You'll learn a lot about people as they tell the story. So ladies, let me talk to the guys real quick. Guys, let me give you a few options. There's a lot of options for us to choose from, but here's some to consider. Let's start here. Option number one, gotta go with Denzel. Denzel's a man, you don't even have to say his last name. You know who we're talking about. Option two, either one of the Ryans. I'll go either way. That'll be fine. And then option number three, obviously, Denzel. Okay, so, and ladies, for you, lots of options. Let's just say Jennifer Lawrence because she's in every movie anyway. Okay, so basically, here's the point. So they've cast Denzel and Jennifer Lawrence in your life story, and now a screenwriter starts writing your story, and they come to this season of your life, and they start to find out, where is your tension? Where are you struggling? Where is your problem? And this is what they would say. They would say, oh, this could be really good, because this opportunity is where they're going to grow. This opportunity, it's very difficult, and it's a huge hurdle, and it's a huge challenge, but oh my goodness, if they can get over this hurdle, what a great story this will be in their life. And the question the screenwriter would ask about you is this, and it's a fantastic question. In your current situation, what would a hero do? In your current situation, what would a hero do? If your villain moment is finances, what would a hero do in this moment? If your villain moment was something relationally, what would a hero do in this moment? If it's a career, if it's a secret problem, if it's a challenge, what would a hero in your situation do? Figure that out and do that. And what the screenwriter would say about your story in your life right now is they would go, oh, this is going to be good, because they're actually seizing the moment to be a hero, because their current challenge is their current opportunity to be a hero. Now, I wish it was that easy. But part of the reason we challenged and we struggle a little bit with this is because there are two things that happen to us in life. And I think this is something we all share as well. There are two things that happen when it comes to your life and my life that I think we all share. And they battle against us seizing a hero's moment. The first thing, just two things. The first thing is sometimes, wouldn't you agree with this? Sometimes life inflicts damage on us. There are things sometimes that are out of our control, right? The world around us, the economy, we have little control really over the people in our lives to some extent. I mean, there are things that are just out of our control, and you've got stories and I've got stories where life just damaged us. But the opposite is true as well. When you think that sometimes we inflict damage on our lives, I've got these stories. And maybe you've got these stories, how you inflicted damage on your life. So sometimes life inflicts damage on us, and sometimes we inflict damage on our lives. And there are two responses to this. And these two responses really prevent us, in many cases, from seizing a hero's moment. Let me tell you what these are. Sometimes life inflicts damage on us, and the response is passivity. We just get passive. What I mean by this is we play the victim card. We're like, you know what? They're never going to change. The world's never going to change. This is just how it is with me. I'm not as lucky as everybody else. I'm not as blessed as everybody else. So we play the victim card and we become passive. And as we become passive, we build this wall that shuts us out from experiencing a hero's moment. And we lean in and listen and say our excuses over and over and over again, and it makes us passive. The other response is procrastination. When we inflict damage on our lives, basically what happens is we feel like we've dug a hole so deep that we can't figure out a way to get out of the hole, so we just procrastinate from ever making any kind of move to get out of the hole. So what happens is passivity and procrastination become these walls, and they shut us away from experiencing a hero's moment. And as a result of that, if we play the victim card, or if we just think this is just how life is for me, here's what happens. Passivity and procrastination are kryptonite to the potential of experiencing a hero moment. And you know what kryptonite is, right? Kryptonite is from the planet Krypton, Superman's planet. And the only way that you can really stop Superman is if you get a rock from planet Krypton and get it close to Superman. And when you get it close to Superman, he weakens. Well, when you get the rock of passivity and procrastination, and you combine it with a challenging moment in your life, those walls again go up, and they prevent you from seizing the moment. And as a result, you and I forfeit turning that challenge into an opportunity to be a hero. Now, the good news is it doesn't have to be that way. There is a solution. And part of the solution is something I've been praying for you, all of our churches this week. I'm praying that you get angry. The Bible talks about a righteous anger. In fact, there's a great line from a great theologian named Popeye the Sailor Man. This is what he said. He said, when it came to some issue, that's all I can stands, I can't stands no more. And then he would pop open a can of spinach and he would deal with the situation, all right? I want some of us, maybe all of us today, to have a Popeye the Sailor Man moment to say, that's it. I can't stands no more. I'm gonna climb the wall of passivity, procrastination, and get on the other side. Because there is a hero moment awaiting you and me. So what's your current challenge? And I'm telling you, with God's help, God can help you turn that current challenge into a current opportunity, and it is your hero moment. Now, the reason I know this is true and the reason I'm so passionate about this is because I'm going to tell you a story, but there's so many stories I could tell you. But this one particular story, I think is foundational. It's a foundational example of what we're talking about. And today, I want to share with you a story of a man who had life inflict some damage on him. And he inflicted damage on his life. We're not dealing with someone who had no issues. We're not dealing with someone that didn't have any failures. We're dealing with someone who had some successes and some failures. We're dealing with someone who had some high points and some low points. But what we're dealing with is someone who, as life pushed him down, and as he tripped up his own life, he had this process of getting back up, dusting himself off, and keeping moving forward. And the reason so many of us in the building today consider this man a hero wasn't because he was so perfect. He wasn't. The reason we consider him as a hero is he kept moving forward. He would not allow passivity and procrastination to remove the opportunity of a hero moment in his life. And in the process, he does lots of things, but he does the first thing that heroes do. And since this is the beginning of our hero series, I want to talk about the first thing that heroes must do to seize the moment before them, to seize the moment before you and before me. Now, what's interesting about this guy is he grew up in the day of Jesus. He grew up in a Jewish culture. He was Jewish himself. And as we hear his story, we begin to realize that life had pushed him down. And let me explain this. When he grew up in his day and time, one of the dreams of any Jewish boy was to grow up to be a rabbi. A rabbi was like the rock star position of the community. That's what they dreamed of. That's what they longed for. It was like being a professional athlete or a rock star in that day. And this is what they longed to be. The challenge, though, is only the best of the best of the best and the brightest and the brightest and the brightest were selected to be and to follow a rabbi. So how this would work, a rabbi would come in and he would look around and he would find the best of the best of the best of the young boys. And he would come to these young men and he would say these words. He would say, follow me. And as he said that, this young man would leave his family and become and follow this rabbi in hopes of someday becoming a rabbi himself. That's the good news. I mean, it was a cool thing, a wonderful thing when a young man left his family to go follow this rabbi. But on the other hand, what that meant is young man after young man after young man was told, you're not good enough, you're not good enough, you're not good enough. And when their dreams were crushed and they weren't selected to follow a rabbi, they then went into the family business. It could be carpentry, it could be a family trade, it could be in the fishing business. And that's actually where we're introduced to our character today. His name was Peter. And when we're introduced to Peter by the writer of the book of Matthew, the writer of the book of Matthew basically just says, here's what Peter was doing. We catch Peter at work. But once you understand the backdrop of the cultural context, you understand how this sentence says a lot about how life had already pushed our character, Peter, down. This is what Matthew wrote. He said, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Matthew, in that sentence, communicates to you and me that life had pushed Peter down and said, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. You don't have what it takes. That's why when you get a larger circle of what Matthew records here, it's incredibly powerful. It's incredibly moving. And you begin to understand why what we're about to read not only changed Peter, but how it eventually changed the course of human history. Let me pull back and read you the rest of this story that Matthew records about Peter. As Jesus, a rabbi, don't forget, as Jesus, the rabbi, was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, Jesus said, and hear these two words that Peter thought he would never hear from a rabbi. Come, follow me. Follow me, because I believe you have what it takes. I believe you have what it takes. Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And verse 20 is so powerful. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Now, have you ever seen a movie about the life of Jesus in this particular scene? And Jesus walks up to these guys, and they're fishing, they're casting nets, and Jesus says, follow me. And it's like these hypnotic beams come out of Jesus' eyes, right? And Peter looks at him, he's like in this trance, and he walks away. Because why would he just drop his nets and leave? That doesn't make any sense. What about the business? What about the fish? What are you going to do for work tomorrow? But what we forget is what Jesus did in this moment. He restored hope into the life of Peter. He gave him belief. And in that moment, Peter said, hold on, time out. You mean there is a rabbi that believes in me? That's me. What that means for me is that I still can do this. And he drops his net and he begins to follow this rabbi named Jesus. Now, here's the cool thing for you and me. From this point forward, it wasn't like this unbelievable journey with no mistakes and no ups and downs. It was just always up. No. What we begin to understand about the life of Peter is a life of messy grace. He had a lot of ups and he had a lot of downs. You know what messy grace is? Messy grace not only kind of expects one step forward and two steps back, it makes room for it. It says, you know what? It's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. And every time life pushed Peter down, and many times when Peter tripped himself up and fell down, Jesus was there, sometimes confronting him, sometimes loving him, but always believing him and saying, Peter, get up. We got work to do. You can't stay down there. You can't be passive. You can't procrastinate. You got to keep moving forward. And what Jesus did is he spoke a belief into the life and the heart of Peter that propelled him to scale the walls of passivity and procrastination, even when he failed, even when he didn't get it right. You know, you've probably had this in your life, right? You've probably had a coach or a teacher or a boss speak belief into your life. And there's something powerful when a person of authority preaches or speaks hope and belief in your life. It just does something to you. In fact, one of my favorite stories about this was told by the late Jim Valvano. Jim Valvano was the head coach at North Carolina State Wolfpack, basketball coach. And he tells a story that when he was announced as the head coach for North Carolina State, his dad called him up and said, hey son, will you come over to the house? So Jim came over to the house. And as he came over to the house, his dad said, hey, meet me upstairs. So he walked upstairs to the bedroom in his parents' home. And as he got up to the bedroom, his dad reached underneath the bed and pulled out a suitcase. He opened it up and it was a fully packed suitcase. And Jim said, well, dad, where are you going? And his dad said, well, I don't know. I don't know where and I don't know when, but here's what I do know. You've told me before that someday you're going to win a national championship. And I believe in you. But not only do I believe in you, I already have my bags packed. So when you win the national championship, I'm already packed and I'm ready to go. Just a few years later, Jim Valvano would lead the North Carolina State Wolfpack to a massive upset against the Houston Cougars, known as Phi Slamma Jamma. In fact, today, many people refer to that game as the greatest upset in college sports history. And when Jim Valvano would tell that story, here's what he would say. He would say, I could trace championship night all the way back to my father's belief because my dad gave me a gift, the greatest gift a son could ever receive. He said, I believe in you. Now, with all due respect to Mr. Valvano, with all due respect to parents, coaches, mentors, teachers, here's the deal, folks. The same Jesus who spoke belief into Peter is the same Jesus who wants to speak belief into you. The same Jesus who said, Peter, follow me, I think you can do it, is the very same Jesus who in your moment, possibly of crisis, challenge, difficulty, in this moment, Jesus is saying, come on, get up, get up. You can't be passive. You can't procrastinate. We got to get up. Let's go. Let's go. We can scale the wall of passivity and procrastination. Your life doesn't have to stay here. We can do it. I believe in you. And so what Peter does is he just begins to believe this, even though he makes mistakes. Yes, Peter tried to walk on water and he didn't do a very good job, but he was the only one that got out of the boat. And he walked on water a lot more than any of the rest of us have. Yes, Peter denied Jesus 3 times, but don't forget, when they came to arrest Jesus, he was the one that drew a sword and said, if you're going to get him, you got to go through me. Yes, Peter denied Jesus in front of a little girl, but don't forget, eventually, as he grew up to be this hero through the good times and the bad times, he eventually stood before the very people who arranged the circumstances of the crucifixion of Jesus, and they told him, you've got to stop preaching about Jesus. And he said, I've got to obey the voice of God. In fact, one time, they go ahead and beat him, and he and his friend John walk away kind of skipping, thinking, can you believe it? God thinks we're worthy to be beaten for the sake of the gospel. What happened in all of that is Peter consistently got up. He got up off the mat. And he would eventually write 2 books of the Bible. And in the very first chapter of the first book he wrote, I think he wrote us a clue about how he did this. Because over and over and over again, as Jesus said, come on, I believe in you, I believe in you, I believe in you, Peter just simply believed it. And he kept being willing to get up even when he was knocked down. Kept being willing to get up even though when he was knocked down. And here was Peter's secret. He wrote this to you and me. And he said, hey, based on all of this, based on who Jesus is, based on the fact that Jesus is alive, here's what I want you to do. Here's your mindset that you've got to have if you're going to seize the moment. He said, therefore, based on all of this, prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds for action. Peter had a bias toward action. That's why when we allow passivity and procrastination to keep us down, it keeps us still. And we make excuses of why we're still on the ground. We make excuses of why we're still locked up. But Peter says, you can't do that. You have to go into action. And that's the first thing that a hero does. When suddenly a villain moment arises, this is what a hero does. A hero acts. They're not passive. They don't procrastinate. They move into action. And this is what I'm asking you to do this week. A hero acts. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, let me give you a few examples. And I may push this a little bit, okay? So I'm not trying to be critical or flippant or any of that. But let me push this a little bit, okay? In the next five days, some of us at church today, some of us have been avoiding a conversation at work, at home, with a friend. In the next 5 days, you need to act and have that conversation. Because that conversation actually could be a breakthrough in the relationship. It could be a breakthrough in the business. It could be a breakthrough in your life. Or you choose to remain passive and procrastinate, and you'll never scale the wall in that hero moment. Some of us in the next 5 days, you need to take a step to push against the mounting financial pressure that you're feeling. Some of us, perhaps, we don't even look at our credit card statement anymore. We just pay the monthly balance and just mail it in the mail and just kind of get it away from us. I want to challenge you in the next 5 days to contact somebody at your church, either a MoneyWise mentor, sign up for a Financial Peace University small group, but you're on the clock. 5 days, a hero acts. And for some of us, it's a marriage situation. And your marriage isn't in great shape, or your marriage is in pretty good shape, but it's not as good as it possibly could be. And we think when married couples go into counseling that something must be wrong. No, you know what? Your marriage could be fine, but I bet it could be better. In the next 5 days, what are you going to do to take an opportunity and make it even better? Or here's one. Let me push this a little bit. Some of us, we've been neglecting our health for far too long. We've been neglecting our health. We're not exercising enough, and we're not eating right. And if we keep that up, it's going to have a negative impact on our lives. Now, I'm no health expert, okay? I'm not asking you to eat kale for every meal, all right? I'm not saying kale for breakfast, kale for lunch, kale for dinner. Kale, no. That's not what we're saying, all right? I'm not saying. But what I am saying is this. If we keep this up, it will have a negative impact. So the next 5 days, I want you to go for a walk or run 2 days out of the next 5 days. You can do that. You can take some action or go home and clean out all the stuff that has the word S-U-G-A-R in it. Just get it out. I'm just saying you can act in the next 5 days. You can do this. Or some of us have a secret addiction and nobody knows about it but us. In the next 5 days, I want you to tell one person. One person. Now, you might think, well, Jeff, if I reveal this secret addiction or this secret, it's going to damage me. Hey, it already is damaging you. You just can't see it. So the next 5 days, I want you to take that secret and bring it into the light. And you'll be amazed at how difficult, but how wonderful it will feel once you've actually taken some action. You know what it's like? These examples. It's just hard to get started. Wouldn't you agree? That really the hardest thing to do is just to get started. Maybe your garage, right? Have you ever tried to clean out your garage and you keep putting off, and finally you do it and it takes you a lot shorter than you thought? Part of the trick is just getting started. But here's what it's going to require. It's going to require courage. And the courage to act is the kryptonite to passivity and procrastination. So the point is this. You probably have a villain moment going on right now, a challenging situation. And passivity and procrastination are speaking to you, just stay down, just stay down, just stay down. But your Savior is saying, I believe in you, I believe in you, I believe in you. You can do this. Will you have the courage to act? And when you do, it'll allow you to scale the wall and get to the other side of a hero moment. So, as I said earlier, this is the plot line of a superhero movie. But really, you know why I showed you this? Because this is the plot line of your story and my story. And for all of us, we've got some of this going on right now. And so here's what I'm saying today as we conclude this or begin this series. You can do this. You can do this. You can deal with this because Jesus is with you and he believes you can. So to wrap up, it's time to act in the next 5 days. It's time to act. Don't allow passivity and procrastination to push you around any longer. It's also time to stop beating yourself up over the past. You got to stop that. It's time also to start forgiving others, including yourself. For some of us, you haven't forgiven yourself, even though you believe Jesus has. If Jesus has forgiven you, it's time for you to start forgiving you. It's time to act. It's time to stop beating yourself up over the past. It's time to forgive others, including yourself, and get up off the ground and take an action step forward. And here's the best news of all. Jesus is here to help. The rabbi is here saying to you, follow me. Follow me. Just take a step. Next 5 days, just take a step. Let me worry about the next step. You just take a step in the next 5 days. And here's even better news, that Jesus is here to help, and so is your church. So is your church, Decatur City. So is your church, Buckhead. So is your church, Gwinnett. So is your church, Browns Bridge. That's why we're here. We love celebrating when people do this and we see life change happen. When people get baptized at our churches, we cheer. We go, there it is. That's why we do this. Their lives are changing. They got up off the mat, and through the help of Jesus, he's changing their life, and the church is helping to cheer them on, to instruct them and move them toward their hero moment. And so here's what I'm hoping for us as we go through this series, and as you take an action step in the next 5 days, I want you to think about this today. I don't want you to just think about how courageous it's going to be to take that step over the next 5 days, because it will. I want you to think a little bit deeper and longer than that. I want you to think a few weeks, a few months, or several months down the road when you've got an incredible hero story to share. And you say, you know what? There is a season in my life where I was really struggling with this one situation. And I was getting beaten down by passivity and procrastination, but I just decided to take Jesus up for his word. And I just got up off the mat. And I did one small thing after another small thing after another small thing. And then his power and his church began to rally around me. And now I look back and wow, my life has changed. My life has changed for my good and God's glory. And as you share that story, it's going to hit someone exactly where they have a similar villain moment. So what hangs in the balance isn't just for you. What hangs in the balance is the people who hear your story several weeks, months, and years from now. When you can say, you know what? I just got up off the mat and followed Jesus, and my life did change for my good and his glory. That's how heroes live. Father, thank you for the story of Peter. Thank you that I can relate to someone who has issues and someone who didn't always get it right, because I certainly haven't. None of us have. And Father, thank you for your son. Thank you for the rabbi, the savior, the master, who said, I believe in you, because we know that us plus Jesus equals anything is possible. And so God, I pray for each person who's heard this story about the life of Peter, and however it fits and meets in their current challenging situation, will you give them hope to turn it around and to say, you know what? I can, through God's help, turn this challenging situation into an opportunity to be a hero. And I pray for several months from now, when we're able to really sing this song, that God, you changed my heart and changed my life. So give us the courage we're going to need. Give us the wisdom to know exactly what that next step may be. And give us the faith to know that as we take this step in the next 5 days, it will lead to another and to another and to another of life change for our good and your glory. We pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.